Hello, friends, and welcome back to another verse-by-verse Bible teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word. That is our hand car washing business. It's located in Churchill, Tennessee, on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we've opened up a car wash. My name is Matthew Monona, my wife, Victoria. We opened this up as a way to get God's Word into the public in a way that is just a little bit more unique than the standard four walls of the church. So come on by the Wash and Word, tune to 107.1 FM while you're in the parking lot. We play these messages on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so get your pals lunch or dinner and sit in the parking lot, flip to 107.1 FM, and you can hear some good, pertinent, verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And friends, is it not true that we need all of God's Word today? We don't need to pick it apart. We don't need to give it little, just bring up little parts here and little parts there. We need all of it. And this is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. So let's get back into it. If you have any questions, I invite you to go to the website. It's washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word, .com. And there you can download and listen to all of our archive messages. You can listen, find out about the business, find out about the ministry. Everything you want is at the website. All right, let's get back into 1 Corinthians. We are in chapter 6. We'll finish it today. And Paul is dealing with sexual immorality. And we've spent actually a couple of messages on this one little section here in chapter 12. Because if you think about the sexual immorality that is so prominent in the world today, and it's just getting worse. The promiscuity and the overall expansion of what we call normal today. I mean, it's gotten to the point that we are in a pre-flood mentality when it comes to the sexual subjects of our bodies. And if you remember, in the pre-flood mentality of humanity, every inclination of the heart was wicked all the time, and there was no right or wrong. There was no measuring stick as to where the line was drawn in terms of sin. Everything was permissible, and that's what we've been talking about in verse 12 of chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And this is the subject of legalism that we were talking about, that we have the freedom in Christ. We can do whatever it is we want, but as devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we are limited in that freedom. Not that we can't do anything that we choose, but Paul says, what is the benefit of the decisions that you're making? What is the benefit of the that sin that you're committing? What is the benefit of that, not even a sin, but maybe a questionable act or a questionable action? What are the benefit of it? And this is what we talked about a lot. And again, I want to go rehashing every message, the next message. So go back and listen to the last few messages. You go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and you can listen to them there. They're only 15 minutes long, and it'll get you caught up to where we are today. But remember, if you look at the world today, sexual immorality is rampant. There are no measuring sticks to right and wrong anymore. And the worst part about it is Satan has targeted our youth, and not even our teenagers. We think of our youth and, you know, Satan is out there trying to get the youth to have sex. He's targeting 9-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 11-year-olds. And he's going as young as he possibly can to literally brainwash the mind into thinking that whatever sexual pleasure you want to partake in, or whatever sexual deviancy you're mind says to go ahead and do, that it's not only okay, but it's applauded. You're a hero when you come out. Bruce Jenner, or whatever, Caitlyn Jenner, was branded a hero when she went forth with sex change. And listen, it is so hard to preach the Word of God and to preach against sin that is so prevalent in the world today. And I'll tell you why it's hard. It's not hard to call it out. It's not hard to call sin a sin. The hard part is calling it out in a way that doesn't create an uproar. Well, does that mean we should dumb down and stay away from calling sin sin? Absolutely not. God help us if we stop calling sin a sin. If we stop confronting the things God says clearly in His Word are sins, then we are in greater trouble than perhaps the sinner. Listen, it isn't about the confrontation. It isn't about the bringing forth of a particular sin. It's about the way we do it. And I might sit here and condemn behaviors and lifestyles, but it isn't a condemning that puts me higher than one another. Listen, I am a sinner like Paul and like you. I've acknowledged the sins that I've committed. I've worked hard to get rid of them. I've asked God to take them away, and God has done a great work in removing sins from my life, but I'm still a sinner. Just like an alcoholic is always an alcoholic, even if it's been 15 years since they've taken a drink. I will always be a sinner, even if I stop sinning today, which I won't and I can't. But point is, we call upon these lifestyles, these behaviors, these sinful acts, and we call them out for what they are according to God's word. But friends, call them out in love. Call them out with opportunity and call them out with invitation. Because to call them out for the sake of calling them out makes you no different than the sinner you're speaking against. And this is why it's important that Christians are not angry at the world. They're not angry at the sinners. We're not angry at the way the culture is changing. Oh, we hate it. We think it's wicked. We don't like to see it, but we're not angry at you. We simply want you to see the truth and come unto the saving faith and grace of Jesus Christ. Of course, if you're involved in those things and you're hearing this, you're not, I'm sure you're getting defensive, and I don't apologize, because this is what we're called to do. We're all sinners, and we've all been called out of sinful behaviors, but we have to recognize them as sinful, or we're just spinning our wheels. All right, let's move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Pick it up in verse 15. Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit." Well, let's stop there for just a moment. Remember now, Paul is writing this letter. All this admonition is against Christians who were performing these behaviors. The last few messages, I've been against worldly behaviors and trying to call in. But see, God help us if we are Christians and we're still engaging. And this is what the letter is to. Remember, he's writing it back to the churches. Now, this whole prostitute thing that he just talked about, this probably doesn't apply to anybody out there, or very few, if any at all. But it isn't to be overlooked or dismissed, because Paul is addressing a serious and pertinent problem for that particular city and that particular church. And again, while this may be directed to fornication and prostitution, there's a principle in here that is inescapable for you, the Christian. And that principle is, because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, He joins you in all of your actions. You hear that? Since Christ is in you, He's with you when you do your behaviors or your actions. And if you think about some of the stuff that you do, I think about some of the stuff that I do, and I think about the concept that Christ is with me, joining me in those actions, I've got to pull a Lucille Ball and go, because it's disgusting to think that Jesus is joining me in some of the behaviors and some of the thoughts that I've had in my life. And Paul is adamantly telling them that, listen, stomach for the food and food for the stomach is nothing like perverse sexual relations, because they were trying to make the two the same. It's like, oh, Paul, come on, if it feels good, we have sex. If we're hungry, we eat. Paul says nothing like that. And it goes back to the origin of teaching that God handed down in the Garden of Eden, when God said in Genesis 2:24 that the two shall become one flesh. And as Christians, we are born again. We become the bride of Christ. We're united. We are fused together with Jesus. And because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, He joins you in all of your actions. We are no longer are we acting as individuals. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. And there can be no place, no action, and no deed that is done that He is not accompanying us. The two have become one. And the only difference, and it's a monumental, is that in Christ, not only have the two become one flesh, but listen, we have become one spirit as well. This is a mighty and awesome fusion that's highlighted in verse 18. Let's keep reading. Paul says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins of a man commits outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Friends, when it comes to the temptation of sexual immorality, there is only one course of action, and that is to flee. Run. Turn. Get out of there. Don't think about it. Don't entertain it. Don't consider it. Don't facilitate back and forth the possibilities of doing it. Don't do anything but run from sexual immorality and its temptations. Because the power that the enemy holds over the human sexual drive is so powerful and so seductive that you don't stand a chance if you begin to entertain those thoughts. And if it pops up on your computer screen, click the little red X. If it shows up on your TV, flip the channel. If it shows up again, turn it off. If it's in a magazine, close the book. If it happens in your mind, take the thought captive to Christ. Paul is talking about extreme action. He says you can't fight it, you can't control it, you can't resist it, you can't overcome it, and you can't suppress it. You have to run from it. But you might say, well, the Bible says we're more than overcomers. Well, sure we are, but sometimes that victory is in the retreat. Submit yourselves to God, James says. Resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Fleeing is often the success story. Resisting is not offensive. At best, it is neutral. We have to flee at times. Hightail it out of there. And when we flee, we make sure we flee to our rock, to our strong tower, to our refuge. Because there is the only place we will find true peace and comfort and protection. And Paul highlights the importance of this by connecting the body with the temple. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes us a temple of God. It is the presence of God dwelling in our own bodies. You remember when the Israelites were given the specs to build the tabernacle? But it didn't become a temple until the glory of God first filled it. And God dwelling in something transforms it from a building to a temple. And our bodies are no longer just bodies. Now they are temples. So if we overeat, if we do drugs, if we have sexual immorality, if we do anything that's bad for the body, we are creating an abomination in the temple. And sexual immorality invites defilement into the temple. And how does God feel about the defilement of the temple? Well, remember what Jesus did when he walked in the temple and saw it defiled. Listen, when you bring something foreign into the temple, it is the highest form of idolatry. What? Yeah, I'm going to say it again. When you bring something foreign into the temple, it is the highest form of idolatry. And in doing so, you send yourself to the top of the list. You have just skyrocketed yourself to the disobedience of the first two commandments. And it doesn't get any more perverse than taking God out of the equation. Listen, only idolatry, that is the worship of another god, the substitution of a rival god, that's the only thing that defiles the temple. That's why fornication has an immediate and profound effect upon the human psyche. It dehumanizes us, it animalizes us, and it brutalizes us. And those who indulge in it grow continually more coarse, less sensitive, and have less regard for the welfare of others. They are more self-centered, more desirous of having their own needs met. And that is why we are in the place that we are in today's culture. So we are not against the person. We are against the acts and against the sins. Come, all of you, to the body of Christ, to the arms of his outstretched, welcoming, nailed hands. Well, that's it for today. come by the Washing Word. We want to talk to you. We want to give you some advice. We want to pray with you. Don't forget to go to Abundant Life at 415 Old Union Road. I preach there Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and we hope to see you there. Have a blessed day.